Open your Bible once again to the book of the Revelation, chapter 17. Revelation, chapter 17. Once again at this time, I want to read verses 1 through 7 of this particular chapter. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." That's reading once again Revelation 17, verses 1 through 7. This time, I'd like to have each head bowed. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. We're going to ask the pastor at this time if he'd lead us.
Father, we do ask you tonight to once again bless this family training hour. We thank for the instruction we've received thus far. We ask you, dear Brother Wayne, tonight, give him what he stands in need of to teach this lesson, or we might learn more about the false world church. Thank the Lord we're not part of it. So Lord, we thank you that you told us about the Word. We can see some of these things forming and taking place today. Lord, it just excites us that we know that you're soon coming again. Lord, just have your way in this time together. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. At this time this evening, we want to teach the next part of the series entitled The False World Church. In the weeks prior, we have stated that here in this passage of Scripture, here in Revelation 17, we have set before us the false world church headed up on the road. Here we find Rome in the driver's seat, or Rome at the helm, so to speak. Now, in the weeks prior, we have asked the question that some people no doubt would ask. They would say, Preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She is called Babylon in verse number 5 because Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. In the weeks prior, we stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon as recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. We stated that we were going to trace Babylonianism through the Scriptures till we come back here, till we come back here to Revelation chapter 17 and then deal with these particular verses. In the weeks prior, we have dealt with Babylonianism from the Old Testament Scriptures. And we've also dealt with Babylonianism some from the New Testament Scriptures. For we have directed the attention of our listeners to Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And at this time, you can turn your Bible to these particular chapters. Here in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, here in these particular chapters, we have seven letters addressed to seven churches. In the weeks prior, I have stated that these particular letters have a threefold meaning. First, each letter here has a primary association. Second, each letter here has a personal application. And then third, I believe that each letter here has a prophetic
anticipation. Now, when I say that each letter here has a prophetic anticipation, I am saying that prophetically, each letter here covers a certain period in the church's history. And when you put all of these letters together, we have the seven stages of the life of a church here upon this earth, commencing with Pentecost and concluding with the rapture. So we find that in these seven letters addressed to these seven churches, we have the whole history of the church upon this earth. Certainly we do. Now in the past weeks, we have given to our listeners the dates that each letter covers prophetically in the period in the church's history, covered by each of these letters. I also stated that we were not going to deal with all of these letters, but we were only going to deal with the letters that involve that which we're teaching about during this series. In the week 5, we have dealt with verses 8 through 11, which sets before us the second letter. We have also dealt with verses 12 through 17, which sets before us the third letter. And then we've also dealt with this fourth letter set before us here in verses 18 through 29. When we closed the last time, we were dealing with this fourth letter here. We find that prophetically, this fourth letter sets before us the period from AD 606 to AD 1520. This letter deals with this particular period in the church's history. And my friend, it was during this time in the church's history that the world saw the rapid rise of Romanism. It was during this time that the world saw the rapid rise of Romish corruption. It was during this time that the world saw the papal church rule ruthlessly. So we find that this is what is dealt with here in this particular letter. And we find that the Lord here in this letter uses a woman by the name of Jezebel to set before us the papal church. Or in other words, the Roman Catholic Church. This woman Jezebel here in this particular letter foreshadows the Roman Catholic Church. Now in the week's prior, we have already dealt with this woman and with verses 18 through 20. When I closed the last time, I had just read verse number 21. Now I want to direct your attention to that particular verse at this time. Here in this verse, the Word of God says, "And I gave her strength to repent." Now the Lord is speaking here. Here he says, "And I gave her strength to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." Here we find that this word space is a time word. Here the Lord is telling us that he gave this woman Jezebel, he gave her space, he gave her time, he gave her opportunity to repent. Well, she refused to repent. That's what we find here in this particular verse of Scripture. We find that this Jezebel here in this church refused to repent. She refused to turn from her wicked ways. She refused to turn from her wicked teachings, from her wicked practices, from her wicked traditions. She refused to turn. She refused to turn. Now, my friend, the same thing is true of the Roman Catholic Church. The Jezebel of the last 1,500 years has refused to repent. The Roman Catholic Church has refused to repent. She has refused to turn from her wicked traditions, her wicked teachings, her practices. She's refused. The Lord has given her opportunity to repent. Certainly the Lord has been long-suffering and allowing so many days. But she has refused to turn. She has refused to do so. The motto of the Roman Catholic Church is Semper Idem, which means always the same. That's the motto of the Roman Catholic Church. Always the same. She prides herself on that particular motto. And my friend, that's exactly what we find here in this passage of Scripture. This Jezebel has refused to repent. She has refused to turn from her wicked ways. And instead of repenting, she has entrenched herself in her sin and in her practices and in her traditions.
Right.
Certainly she has. Certainly she has. Now, let me say this as well. The Word of God here makes it very clear that she is not going to repent. Here in verse 21, the Word of God says that I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. The Word of God makes it clear in the remaining verses that she will not repent. She will not turn.
Right.
And because she will not repent and turn, a judgment awaits her. Judgment awaits her. We find that because this woman, Jezebel, will not repent, judgment awaits her, according to the Lord here in the following verses. And this is what is awaiting the Roman Catholic Church. Judgment awaits her because she refuses to repent. She refuses to turn from her wicked ways, and we find that the divine verdict is already recorded for us here in this passage of Scripture. Her doom and destruction is certain. Now notice verses 22 and 23. Because she refuses to repent, judgment awaits her. And that's what we find here in these particular verses. Here in verse 22, the Word of God says, behold. I was thinking about this today. The word behold is a lot like the word Selah in the Old Testament Scriptures. This word Selah is found 70 times in the book of Psalms. Every once in a while you read through the book of Psalms, you run across the word Selah. It's much like this word behold as it's found in the New Testament Scriptures. That word Selah in the Old Testament Scriptures means to stop, pause, and think about that. Wherever that word is used in the Old Testament Scriptures, that's what that word Selah is telling us to do. Stop, pause, and think about that. And that's exactly the same thing this word behold has to do in the New Testament Scriptures. In other words, it's the stop, look, and listen sign in the New Testament. Anytime this word is used in the New Testament, it calls attention to something of unusual importance. And here we find that it involves judgment. It involves judgment. Here in verse 22, the Word of God says, behold, I will cast her into a bed. And I will say this, that in verses 22 through 25, the Lord uses the word I here seven times. And you should take note of these. In verse 22, he says, behold, I will cast her into a bed. In verse 23, the Lord says, and I will kill her children with death. In verse 23, he says, I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. In verse 23, he says, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. In verse 24, he says, but unto you I say. Verse number 24, the Lord says, I will put upon you no other burden. And then in verse number 25, he says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Now let's notice verse 22. Here the Lord says, behold, I will cast her into a bed. Now in verses 20 and 21, Jezebel is mentioned in connection with fornication. So therefore, here in verse 22, the Lord uses the language that suits her. He uses the language that fits her exactly. And he says, and behold, I will cast her into a bed. Into a bed. Now, I believe the word bed here is to be set in contrast to the harlot's bed. I don't believe that the Lord here is speaking about a bed of prayer. But instead, he is preaching about a bed of pain. He is preaching about a bed of sorrow, about a bed of suffering.
He's dealing with judgment here. He's dealing with judgment. And I'll say this tonight. If you live the role, if you live the role of a harlot, physically speaking, if you live the role of a harlot, physically speaking, suffering and sorrow and disease is headed your way. And the same thing is true spiritually.
That's
right. Same thing is true spiritually. That's what we find here in this passage of scriptures. In this passage of scripture. Here in verse 22, the Lord says, "Behold, I will cast the evil bed." That word bed fits for exactly. Now listen, what's the Lord telling us here in this verse? The Lord's telling us here in verse number 22 that this Jezebel is going to leave her destruction in the midst of the corruption which she has helped to bring about. That's what he is saying. He is saying that this woman here is going to meet her destruction in the very midst of the corruption which she has helped to form. That's what he is saying. Turn your Bible a moment to Proverbs chapter number 1. Just a moment, very briefly. In Proverbs chapter number 1. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse number 29. Proverbs 1. And verse 29, the Word of God says this, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Verse 30 says, "They were none of my counsel, they despised all of my rules." Verse 31 says, Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Says what's what in verse number 31 saying. Verse number 31 is telling us what Paul tells us in Galatians 6. My friend, individual reap what they sow. That's what he's telling us here in verse number 31. And the Lord here says, "They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." And that's exactly the same thing we find right here in verse number 22 of Revelation chapter 2. Here the Lord is telling us that this Jezebel, is going to eat of her fruit and be filled with her own devices. She is going to meet her destruction in the very midst of the corruption which she has helped to bring about. That's what he's telling us here in this particular verse. And that's exactly the same thing we find in Revelation 17, which we'll point out, if the Lord allows, in time to come. Here in verse 22, the Word of God says, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak." I want to point something else out here. I can't deal with all of this letter, but I just want to point out the highlights. Notice here in this particular verse, in verse 24, the Lord refers to the depths of Satan. Look across the page in Revelation 2:9. Here in this particular verse, the Lord refers to the synagogue of Satan. Then you'll notice that in verse number 13 of the same chapter, Satan's seat is referred to. And then you'll notice here in verse 24, the depths of Satan are referred to. Back in lesson, the word Satan is used 8 times in the book of the Revelation, and 5 times it's in connection with the churches here in Revelation 2 and 3. And if we throw in the word devil, as is found in chapter 2 and verse 10, we find that the devil or Satan is mentioned 6 times in connection with these churches here in chapters 2 and 3. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. The devil's true energies are in the spiritual realm or in the religious realm. That's what I'm saying. And the Word of God makes that very clear as we study these two chapters and these seven letters. And notice the expression that the Lord uses here. He says, "And which have not known the death of Satan." The death of Satan. My goodness, here, the Lord is telling us that this system is the death of Satan. That's what he's telling us here in this passage of Scripture. My friend, the Lord makes it very clear here that Romanism plumbs evil to its depths. To its depths. That's what is being dealt with here in this passage of Scripture. In this particular passage. Notice further, "And which have not known the gifts of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Here the Lord refers to his coming 40 years old. As a matter of fact, this is the first time in these 7 years that the Lord refers to his coming for his own. This is the first time right here. Now notice verse 26. "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end." And here the Lord Jesus is referring to those that have been saved by the grace of God. Those that have been born again. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." And in verse number 27 he says, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron." This is referring to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first definite view that we have of the millennium in the book of the Revelation. And I want you to notice here, my friend, here in verse 26 he says that he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Here he talks about giving power over the nations. You know as well as I do, as we sit in this building tonight, that this has always been the desire of the Roman Catholic Church. The desire of the Catholic Church is to rule the nations religiously and politically. That's always been the desire of the Papal Church. But we find that the ones that's going to have that privilege are those that's been saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in verse 27 it says, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now let me go back just a moment. Here in this passage of Scripture is set before us a woman by the name of Jezebel. My friend, the Lord uses this woman here to foreshadow the Roman Catholic Church or the Catholic Church. And here the Word of God tells us that she refuses to repent. Here the Word of God makes it clear that she is not going to repent. Here the Word of God tells us that she is not going to change. Therefore, judgment awaits her. And this is exactly what we find described for us in Revelation chapter number 17. I want you to turn your Bible there at this time, if you will, please. Revelation chapter 17. When we come to this particular chapter in the pages of the Word of God, we find that some people divide this chapter into two sections. Two sections that are clearly marked off by two significant phrases. First, in verses 1 through 6, we have the vision. And here in verse number 1, we have the phrase. Notice verse number 1. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials,
and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. Notice what he says to John. Notice what this angel says to John. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. This we've got to get. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. Here in verses 1 through 6, we have the vision, and we have this particular phrase. Second, in verses 7 through 18, we have the interpretation of the vision. And here in verse number 7, we have another significant phrase. Notice verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou love? Notice what the angel says to John. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. Let's read it again. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. Here's another significant phrase. Matter of fact, this should be compared with the phrase found in verse number 1. Let's read the phrase found in verse 1 again. Then the Word of God says, I will show unto thee, S-H-E-W. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. In verse 7, the angel says, I will tell thee, T-E-L-L. Do you know that here in this chapter, we have what's called show and tell. Show and tell. When we come to this chapter, we find that it can be divided another way. Let's look at it again. First, the system is exposed in verses 1 through 6. Second, the secret is explained in verses 7 through 15. And then third, the system is extinguished in verses 16 through 18. Now, when we come to this particular chapter in the book of Revelation, we find that the key verse of this chapter is verse number 1. The key verse in this chapter is verse 1. Let's notice this verse again. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. I will show unto thee the judgment. This is the key verse in this chapter. This verse tells us what the theme of this chapter is. This verse tells us the subject that is dealt with in this chapter. The theme or subject of this chapter is the judgment of the false world church. That's what's dealt with here in this chapter. The judgment of the false world church. We find here that judgment is pronounced a solemn subject. Judgment is pronounced, and the harvest is ripe for the same. And before I go any further dealing with this verse, let me say this as well. Has it ever occurred to you that there is little mention of love in the book of the Revelation? There is little mention of love in this particular book, but there is much about wrath. As a matter of fact, the word wrath is used 13 times in this particular book. 13 in the Word of God is the numerical number for apostasy and rebellion. And you can mark it down. Those that reject Jesus Christ and rebel against God will one day encounter the wrath of the Holy God. But there's very little mention of love in this book, but there's much mention of the wrath of God. This is a book that's weighted down with judgment. As a matter of fact, the words judge and judgment in their various forms are used 15 times in this particular book. It's weighted down with judgment. Now let me say this as well. Although this book refers much to the wrath of God and is weighted down with judgment, there's much comfort
in this book
Amen.
For the sake of God.
There's much comfort found in the book of Revelation for the sake of God.
Much comfort. Has it ever occurred to you that the book of the Revelation tells the saint of God more about his eternal home than any single book in the Bible?
Right.
This book right here, the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation. Has it ever occurred to you that a psalm of the favorite verses quoted by a valiant saint of God are found right here in this particular book? So there is much comfort in this book for those that's been saved by the grace of God. So we find that this book is weighted down with judgment. Let me put it this way. The book of the Revelation sets before us Daniel's 70th week. Or in other words, the tribulation period. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 6 for just a moment. Revelation chapter number 6. The book of the Revelation sets before us Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week is a 7-year period of time that will begin following the rapture of the church.
Right.
Now, Daniel's 70th week is set before us here in the book of the Revelation in chapters 6 through 19. Therefore, we find that 14 chapters in this particular book deals with the tribulation period. It might be the tribulation period, according to the Word of God, is a time of judgment. It's a time of wrath. It's a time of destruction. It's a time of darkness. It's a time of distress. It's a time of judgment. And since 14 chapters deals with this time of judgment, that tells us that this book must be weighted down with judgment. Notice your Bible in verse number 1. Here is where the tribulation period begins. Here in Revelation chapter 6. Notice verse 1. Hear the Word of God says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder." The noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." The word thunder is used 19 times in the Bible. And the word thunder in the Bible speaks of judgment. I thought the word thunder is used 16 times in the Old Testament Scriptures and only 3 times in the New. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 9 for just a moment. Exodus chapter 9. The word thunder is used for the first time here in Exodus chapter number 9. This is the first time we find this word in the pages of the Word of God. Notice it. Exodus chapter 9, verse 22, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran on upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt." Here's the first time that the word thunder is used in the pages of the Word of God, and it is mentioned in connection with judgment right here. And it's mentioned in connection with judgment here in Revelation chapter 6, and verse number 1. The word thunder here in Revelation 6, 1 tells us about a coming storm, about a coming time of judgment. When we hear thunder today, when we hear thunder, we think about a coming storm. When we think about a storm, we think about a dark time. A dark time. Here John speaks about the noise of thunder. This is talking about a coming time of judgment, a coming storm. And my friend, whether you realize it or not, the tribulation period is going to be the darkest period in human history. Turn your Bible for a moment to Daniel chapter 12 while dealing with this. Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12 and in verse number 1, the Word of God says this, "And at that time shall Michael stand up." This involves the tribulation period. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trial, such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time." Turn your Bible to Joel, chapter number 2. You have Daniel, then you have Hosea, and then you have Joel. Joel, chapter 2. Notice what the Word of God tells us here. In Joel chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Here the Word of God says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of deep darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." Turn your Bible to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 21, the Lord Jesus says this, "For thee shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Amen. Daniel's 70th week is going to be a time of judgment. A time of judgment. Somebody says, "Preacher, if I know anything about things, we're in the midst today." I won't disagree with you. We're in a mess today, from the White House to the hen house. That's true. And things are getting worse, sir. If you think any difference, you're blind as a bat. You have to be. And what we're experiencing today is like a Sunday school picnic compared to what's going to take place during Daniel's 70th week.
That's right.
The tribulation period. And during this period, this false world church is going to be judged by God Almighty. And that's what is set before us in detail here in this particular chapter. I'd like to have each head bowed and each eye closed, please.